FM W260CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Matt Piper in a chilly Des Moines, Iowa. Yes, that is what it sounds like here this morning. And once the sun sets tonight, it'll be even colder. Wind chills expected at more than negative 40 degrees once caucusing gets underway in about 12 hours. Christina Sauce lives in Clive, Iowa.
Most people go in already knowing who they are going to support.
I was going to caucus, but I think I know who I want to vote for, so I'm not going to.
No one could sway you if you show up.
No.
And while Donald Trump does lead in the polls, Bill Davis sees him this way.
The Trump thing, he's such a divider, and I don't think he can do a good job with having half the people hate you.
I'm Matt Piper in Des Moines, Iowa. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
About that bitter cold, it's minus 12 in Des Moines right now. The high for today, minus 1. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
It is the coldest Iowa caucus on record, and it's not even close. We've got a wind chill warning in effect all throughout the day on Monday. In fact, it goes all the way till noon on Tuesday.
Iowa's not the only state dealing with a deep freeze. In Oregon, more than 96,000 customers have no power, and at least 4 deaths there have been linked to the cold. Blizzard conditions in Buffalo postponed the Bills Steelers playoff game until today. A woman and 2 children drowned Friday night when they tried to cross the southern border through a park. CBS's Stacey Lynn says it's escalating tensions between Texas and the Biden administration.
The Department of Homeland Security is demanding that Texas state officials stop blocking Border Patrol agents from a public park in Eagle Pass. In a cease and desist letter obtained by CBS News, they called the state's move to seize control of the area clearly unconstitutional.
The Pentagon says a U.S. fighter jet shot down a missile shot by Houthi rebels at an American destroyer in the Red Sea. The Iranian-backed group has been targeting allied ships over the Israel-Hamas war. A volcano in Iceland has erupted for the second time in less than a month, sending lava flowing towards the fishing town of Grindavik. This man's home caught fire.
Well, this is a bit surreal to watch your family home just disappear.
People were evacuated ahead of time. It wasn't a bird, it was a plane that touched down on the Hudson River between New York and New Jersey 15 years ago today. The hero pilot who saved his passengers and crew, Captain Chesley Sullenberger, better known as Sully. He tells CBS News.
We had to set clear priorities, do the few things that would help us the most, that were the most essential things to make our situation better, but do them very, very well.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagiho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one, headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the state elections commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wagiho, Civic Media News.
Bucks win in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Sacramento Kings in a high-scoring thriller at five-serve form that went down to the wire in overtime, 144-143 in favor of Milwaukee. The Bucks' Damian Lillard on how he dodged De'Aaron Fox to hit the winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
I wasn't going inside the three-point line, so he kind of got back in front of me, and I just changed direction, and it was a pretty comfortable shot.
The Bucks have now won their last 3. They head to Cleveland to face the Cavaliers Wednesday. NFL, the Packers with a stunning upset of the Dallas Cowboys, 48-32. They jumped out to a 27-0 lead by the second quarter, snapping a 16-game winning streak at home for the Cowboys. Up next, Green Bay heads to California to face the 49ers Saturday night at 7:15 in the divisional playoffs.
All these guys have the ability, all the young guys that we have, Christian on out, the oldest receivers on year two, and I believed in them.
That's Packers outside linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be dangerously cold out there. Wind chill from about minus 25 to minus 30 today, tonight, and tomorrow. Today will be partly cloudy to mostly cloudy. 3 above for a high tonight. Down to 10 below tomorrow, partly cloudy. Becoming breezy with a high near 4 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I had to buy everything online during the pandemic. I started doing a lot more online shopping, and I found out whenever you use your credit card online, it always gives you one of these "Are you a robot?" tests. You guys all done these? It always asks me one of three questions. It always says, choose the pictures that have traffic lights, choose the pictures that have buses, or choose the pictures that have stop signs. So I have no idea how we're supposed to trust self-driving cars. Now that I know the three things robots cannot identify...
Seven at WRJN. During this year, we're going to do a series called Historical Markers. And it's the history of WRJN with all the people we can find, obviously, that are still here, because we've lost a bunch of people in the last 2 or 3 years that we can never talk to again and get their opinions on everything that went on during their tenure here at WRJN Radio. We just turned, we had our 97th birthday, started our 98th year. I'm still unclear about those numbers. But in 2026, we'll turn 100. So that's a milestone. And I got this idea, and I mentioned this before last time we did it. A friend of mine passed away that I worked with for years at WEZW in Milwaukee. And his wife said at his funeral, "I want you to speak. Do we have any audio of Bill?" This guy was in radio for 30 years on the air, different radio stations. Not one bit of audio exists that we know of. And I said, I don't want that to happen with WRJN. Also, the first station I worked at, WGBB on Long Island, is celebrating their 100th this year. And they don't have audio from a lot of these announcers that were there. They just don't have it. And most of the people are gone. There's only like 3 or 4 of us left from those days. So anyway, I decided we're going to do this all year long. And we're going to get all the people we can, starting in the oldest and working our way down.
Wow.
Our first one was Tony Gazzana,
yep,
who was owner of this radio station for, I think he said 9 years, 7, 9 years, 8 years, something like that. And it's kind of clouded because he was also owner with Greg Marcus. So it was Tony Gazzana by himself. Then it was Marcus Gazzana. Mm-hmm. So not 100% sure if he included those years in there. But I got hired under Tony Gazzana. And so this is WRJN Historical Marker number 2. Today's Kurt Bowman.
Good morning.
Not that you're the next oldest in line.
That's what I was wondering when you said that.
But I don't know. You got a dangerous job.
So you never know. So you want to get me on before it's too late,
We go by dangerous jobs and ages out there. So let's back, before you got here, you were in radio when? When did you start?
Well, if you include college, I started college radio, what it would have been the, what, fall of 87, I guess. So, how long is that now? 37 years?
I don't have a calculator.
Something like that.
Okay, so 1980.
87.
So, 13 years would have been to 2000, add 24 to that.
Yeah. And so, about 37 years, yeah.
So, that's when you started. And you went, what's your first commercial job?
Let's see. 1991, I went to Osage Beach, Missouri. Beautiful area. I mean, the hills and the most beautiful autumn I ever spent was in Osage Beach, Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks. And so I was there for a whopping, I think, 3.5 months at KBMX Radio. It was, you remember the old Bonneville easy listening format.
There was a beautiful music format.
Beautiful music format, and that's what it was.
That's soft music, like elevator music.
Yeah, it was all of your favorite hits from, you know, Michael Jackson and Elton John and Billy Joel, except they were all instrumental.
Yeah.
Is what it was. It was Muzak, basically. Yeah, yeah. And so that was, I started there in the summer of 1991, but the station wasn't making any money, and so the entire on-air staff got laid off after I was there for about 3.5 months. That was... You know, it's interesting to see the progression of technology in radio, because when I was at KBMX in Osage Beach, all the music was on the giant reel-to-reels, and we had 4 reel-to-reel decks playing all this music. And it was, you know, nowadays everything's computerized and automated, but this is what I called semi-automatic radio, because you would hit a button and it would play a song from, you know, reel-to-reel deck number 1, and then it would automatically play one from reel-to-reel number 4, and then number 3, and Don's holding up a blank reel-to-reel.
Oh, we have them with tape on them, too. It's just too heavy, but this is the reel you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Giant 10-inch reel, is it?
Yep. Yeah, I think it's 10-inch reel, yeah. And so anyway, it would play like 4 songs in a row and then stop, and you had to be sure you were in the studio after 4 songs, or otherwise there'd be dead air. It was what I called semi-automatic. You'd hit one button, and you were good for about 15 minutes. And then you had to be back in the studio to read the commercials and weather and whatever. So I did midnight to 6 there, 6 days a week. And
it's hard to believe they needed a human being in midnight to 6.
Yeah, well, they needed it, yeah.
Today, you don't need them.
And today, it's all computerized now, so... So that was for, I don't know, 3.5-4 months in 1991 until everybody got laid off. And then I went from there, I went to Iowa, Knoxville, Iowa, a little AM-FM combo, simulcast. It was the same programming on the AM as it was the FM. That was KNIA, Knoxville, Iowa, and KRLS. And... I started there. I was hired as the assistant news director. There were 2 news people. It was a 2-person news operation, and I was hired as the number 2 guy. On the first day, I showed up there, and the number 1 guy had just quit, and they said, "Congratulations, you just got a promotion." This was day 1, so I was made news director in 1 day, and I worked the entire summer basically in 1992. As the only news guy. I was meant to be a 2-person operation. I was the only guy. And so I was working, you know, 13, 14, 15-hour days that whole summer, which turned out pretty good because they realized what kind of work ethic I had. And after 3 or 4 months there, the program director and morning show host left. And so I got promoted again. And so now I'm 22, 23 years old, and I'm now the program director of this little radio station out in Iowa. And about a year and a half later, I came here.
Okay, now when you came to WRJN, what year was it?
1993, okay, October.
It was 2 years after I got here.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was it was WRJN and WHKQ?
At the time.
Yeah, WHKQ was our FM, which was beautiful music.
Right, it was that old Bonneville, like I was talking before, it was that old Bonneville easy listening format, beautiful music.
But WRJN was a music station at that time.
Yes.
It wasn't talk radio yet. So it was a music station playing like what they called the middle of the road MOR music.
Right.
It wasn't any the top hits, but
yeah, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel,
stuff like that. Yeah, middle of the road stuff.
Yeah,
nothing that would jolt you if you got up in the morning. But you didn't start off as an announcer here, did you?
I did actually. I did start off as an announcer. The whole reason I came to apply here is because I was, as I said, I was working out in Iowa, and my wife and I were wanting to come back here. I married a good Racine gal, and we wanted to come back to this area. And my mother-in-law actually called us and said, hey, I just saw in the Journal Times that WRJN is looking for a salesperson, somebody to sell advertising. And I said, well, you know, I don't really want to be in sales. It's not really what I do. I'm a program director. I'm, you know, morning show host, whatever. But I thought, you know, we want to get back to the area. What's the harm in applying? So I applied for the job as a salesperson, came out and interviewed. You remember Walter Koznitsky?
Sure do.
He was the sales manager here at the time. I interviewed with him. A few days later, I called back just to follow up, saying, hey, I'm just calling to follow up. Wanted, you know, see if there's anything else you need from me at this point. And he says, you know what? We're not going to hire you for the sales job, but our owner, Tony Gazzana, wants to talk to you about an on-air position. Is that something you would be interested in? I said, well, yeah. And so it turned out Bob Cook, who was the afternoon host and on WRJN at the time, was going to be retiring. And so they needed somebody to do afternoons. And so Tony, the owner of the station, says, well, I know you're interested in sales. I said, well, yeah, kind of. So would you be interested in doing kind of a hybrid job? So I was the afternoon host, and I did a couple hours a day of telemarketing, calling on cold calling advertisers, potential advertisers. And so I came in around, I don't know, noon or 1 o'clock or something, and I cold called for a couple hours, and then I was on the air from 3 to 8.
I said earlier today, I don't know if you heard it, but I think in the history of the station, you had more hats here, more job
titles. I had a lot, yeah.
I think you had four. That's what I came up with, four. You were in sales.
Yeah.
You were in continuity. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
On air, and you were a program director.
Promotions director, too.
Promotions director, five.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about one of my favorite promotions that we did, you and I did together, for our FM station.
I know what it was. It was going up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that later. Okay. So you were on air.
Yep.
And doing afternoon drive. And how long did that last?
Afternoons? I don't know, about two and a half years, something like that. I think it was in January of 96 I took over the morning show. So, yeah, a little, almost 2.5 years, I guess, on afternoons. And then I did the morning show.
And all this time you're doing telemarketing and you're doing...
Well, I wasn't always telemarketing. I, after a while, I also did, I kind of did full-time sales too. So I would come in at about 7:30 in the morning. I would sell advertising until about 2 in the afternoon. I'd come here and do a little production, create commercials. And then I was on the air from 3 to 8. So I was working, you know, 12, 13-hour days. First sales and then...
Well, that makes me sound like a slacker around here during those
days. No, believe me, you put in your hours.
But I was just dealing with the FM at that time. I wasn't dealing with the AM. It was just the FM, I believe. I don't remember the year. Maybe it was both stations, WRJN and WHKQ. I want to make sure we get this in before the break here. Okay, well, we'll start it here now. So, when did you take over promotions at the station? When was that? Was that much later?
That was in 2000. It was right after Y2K, I remember. But before promotions was continuity, traffic.
Okay, now, you got to explain that to people, because people don't know what traffic
is. Yeah, when you say traffic, you think, you know, the helicopter cars, and talking about the roads and stuff. No, traffic is making sure all the commercials air when they're supposed to air.
You put together a log for the announcer so he knows when to run the commercials.
You work with the sales staff and get their advertising on the air. You work with the on-air team to make sure they air at the correct times.
And all this while you're still on the air?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kurt Bowman is here. This is WRJN Historical Marker number 2. And we'll continue in just a moment at WRJN. Hometown Radio Refresh, the Civic Media Station, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM in Racine, 98.1 FM in Kenosha.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just.
All text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Went through brain surgery. He had a tumor.
Really?
Yeah, he had a tumor in his brain. He's okay. But, you know, that's a brain tumor. That's dangerous. They said they got it all. He's fine now. Yeah. I always remember him on Dancing with the Stars. He's the only celebrity ever to get a 3. And
yeah, I don't know. Is that good?
No, 10 is the best.
Oh, okay.
They generally don't give 3s, 2s, and 1s. He got a 3. And they were very nasty to him. He even commented. He said, treat me like that on this show. He came out and said there was a horrible way to treat him.
Wow.
They were very nasty to him and everything because he couldn't dance. But, you know, none of those celebrities can really dance. So. Kurt Vollman is here. This is WRJN Historical Marker number 2. We're talking about his years at WRJN Radio. So after you were on the air, you did telemarketing.
Yeah.
And when did you go to full-blown sales? Did you actually, made calls going on sales calls?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly. I was here maybe 6 months or a year, and they wanted somebody full-time in sales, and I was doing a decent job, I guess. And so I kind of did both. I did full-time sales and full-time radio. I guess I wanted a bigger paycheck or something. And so I did both for a while. And, you know, I was pretty good at sales. It wasn't really my thing. I didn't really love it.
Yeah.
And eventually when I took over the morning show and started doing continuity traffic, that was the end of the sales thing then. So, but I did the traffic for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, I think.
Yeah. And again, putting together commercials on logs, making sure everything runs.
Right.
And then, because we have to send, bill the client based on what actually
ran. Yeah, make sure all the invoices are correct. And
that's
all
a lot
that,
of work.
It is a lot of work.
And then you still got to do afternoon driving.
Yeah, it's funny. You know what? Well, no, at that point I was doing mornings.
Oh, you switched? Okay, we didn't know that part.
Yeah.
When did you switch to mornings?
I started doing mornings, I think, in 96.
Okay, Ron Richards did mornings, and he switched to afternoons.
Correct.
Okay.
And he was on the FM for a while, too.
Yeah, you switched with Ron Richards, and you were doing mornings. You get off the air. When did you do all your prep work?
I usually come in early.
Oh, wow.
Prep work for the morning show, you mean?
Yeah
I would come in early. Or during the day, you know, if I had to book guests or whatever, I would make calls during the day.
So. Man, no slouch time for you.
No, there wasn't. In fact, one of my funny stories is, you know, before I started doing the continuity and traffic, that was a 40-hour-a-week job for somebody. And for me, I had to do it in about 20 hours or less because I had so many other responsibilities.
Well, I know who did it when I came here. It was a woman named Kathy Kexel.
Okay.
Did it. And I don't know where she is today, but she did traffic then. So I don't know if there was somewhere between her and you. I think you were the next person.
No, Laura Gazzana.
Oh, Laura Gazzana was here, Tony's niece. Yeah.
And then there was...
okay, so I'm wrong.
There was one other person who was supposed to do it, and she didn't last very long, and she just left one day. And so then they were hung out to dry. They had nobody to do it. And so I said, well, I'll do it, but I didn't know how to do it. And so I called Laura Gazzana back, who had previously done it, and she came and she basically in one day taught me how to do it.
We had something at the time. I don't know if it was better when you got here. Something called a Wang computer.
Okay.
Do you remember the Wang computers?
No.
They were very simple computers. They were close that door. They were very simple computers, and and they weren't like computers you have today. And they were very simple. And I don't know, did you have a real computer? Because these were the early days of, you know, they were.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was an old DOS computer.
Yeah, they didn't want like, with the green screen?
Yeah, green or blue, I can't remember,
The green. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That was it. And you did that for a lot of years, you said, right?
Yeah, about 7 years, I think.
And you stayed on mornings for how many years? You were there till the end, yeah.
Yeah, I, let's see, 96 to 2005, I guess, was the first stint. And I left employment here in 2005, and I changed careers completely and went and built computer networks and that sort of thing. I did that for about 6.5 years.
But you came back for 1 month.
No, I came back for another... Oh, yeah, I came back for a month. You're right. Well, several months, actually, because when I left here in 2005, Paul Kern took over the morning show. And at one point, he had surgery, and so I filled in for him for a month. My other boss was fine with it. I said, hey, look, listen, they asked me to do this for a month. Yeah, go ahead and do it. So I would come in here and do the morning show for Paul and then go to my other job. And then you had surgery, and you were doing the morning show on the FM radio station, and you were gone for probably a month. And so I did that. As a matter of fact,
I'll tell this story. When they were putting me out to go for heart surgery, it's a five-hour surgery. They had to replace a valve in my heart. And it's anytime they deal with the heart, it's an iffy thing. And you have to sign all these papers saying, you know, you're not holding them responsible if you croak on the table. And I said, and my wife was getting very, not very happy with this kind of language talk. So they brought me into the room to give me the IV to put me out. And one of the nurses said to me, oh, you work at that radio station, 92.1, WEZY. I said, yeah. They, could you go on the radio now? And I placed a call to you.
Yeah, and I was doing your morning show.
And I was laying on the table. They had the... the needles in me trying to put me out, and the guy was there, you know, with his, you know, feeling my pulse and everything, making sure I didn't die from that. And I was talking to you on the radio as I was fading away, right, going into surgery.
Think of that. I could have been the last person you ever talked to.
That reminds me of that Seinfeld episode when Jerry doesn't pay attention to the instructions just in case something goes wrong on the plane, and all of a sudden they hit heavy turbulence and they say, brace yourself. And the guy next to him says, my name is Bill. I may be the last person you ever speak to. And that reminds me. Yeah, but I could have been the last person. You could have been the last person I ever spoke to. And so you filled in for me for a month on that FM radio station.
Yep.
And I came back only because the surgeon, I called him. I was home for 3 weeks. Actually, I was home for 2 weeks. And then after that, I said, I'm bored. He said, let me do a checkup on you. I said, I got to get back to work. I got to do something. I can't hang around this house anymore. So he called the radio station and he said, I'm letting Don come back. And this time I was still the program director of WRJN. And he said, I'm letting him come back, but he is not to lift anything and he's not to go down any stairs. He can't walk the stairs and he can't lift things. Two things, you're going to have to keep an eye on him because if he does that, he's not going to be allowed in the building again. So they actually had people looking out. Lou Turner was going to be my the guy who looks out for me. And he had to keep an eye on me. So we were doing a remote broadcast. And I remember my son was going to help me, but he was late. So I'm carrying some of the equipment out to our van. And Lou comes running out. Put that down. Put that down. Stop. Put it down.
Lou is the best. He would do anything.
He's running out there yelling at me to put it down. And I remember I had to get something downstairs. And I start to open the door. And it could have been Lou or somebody else. No, what do you want? I'm going downstairs. I'll get it for you. I said, I can walk the stairs. No, don't walk the stairs. And they watched me like I was an invalid for a few weeks until everything was okay. Now I wish somebody would carry the stuff out to the van and walk downstairs for me. But, yeah. But you, very nice. You took off from work and I had peace of mind.
No, I didn't take off from work.
But you came in here to work. You arranged your schedule. And I had peace of mind because Kurt Vollmann, I knew, was at the controls running things and people were doing all my other jobs here. And I really was rested. It really felt good. Kurt Vollmann's here. It's WRJN Historical Marker number 2. We have news, weather, and sports coming up right now. WRJN at 729.
You're
listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. A CBS News poll finds former President Trump with a commanding lead over his GOP competitors nationwide as Republicans in Iowa head out for the first caucuses tonight in bone-chilling cold.
Yes, I'm going to go caucus, and I'm caucusing for Nikki Haley. And I don't care how cold it is.
CBS meteorologist David Parkinson says they are the coldest caucuses on record.
During caucus day, your high temperature, not getting above the 0-degree mark. We're probably looking at a high of about -3.
At least 4 deaths in Oregon are blamed on the deep freeze. A volcano in Iceland is at it again. It's erupted for the second time in less than a month, sending lava flowing towards the fishing town of Grindavik. This nature photographer has been taking it all in.
It's a bit of a weird feeling to see a town being destroyed in almost in slow motion at this point.
At least one home caught fire. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
News is sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, the pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com for more information.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Keeping the power on is one of the biggest challenges in a big winter storm. 23,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin lost their electricity at one point Friday morning. The hardest hit area was Milwaukee County. Wisconsin lawmakers will likely take up tax cuts again. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says it would be hard to cut taxes without also cutting public services. Democrats say they'll prioritize working families.
People do want to have the services that are going to allow them and their families to live a good life in their communities. And they also want to feel like their tax burden is fair, right? And they see the benefit of that. So we try to balance all of those things.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be dangerously cold out there. Wind chill from about -25 to -30 today, tonight, and tomorrow. Today will be partly cloudy to mostly cloudy. 3 above for a high tonight. Down to 10 below tomorrow, partly cloudy. Becoming breezy with a high near 4 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I've been watching these cooking shows. Trying to learn how to cook. Haven't learned anything yet. Well, anyone would like to cook if everything was already in pre-measured glass bowls. It's a very easy recipe. You just pick this up and you dump this in the pot. I'm gonna get my crew out here to stir this while I drink wine. I wanna see a realistic cooking show. When we come back, I'm gonna spend 20 minutes rummaging through all my drawers trying to find my measuring spoon. And tune in tomorrow when after 45 minutes of preparation, I realize I don't have any eggs. And on the cooking shows, there's always a finished one in the oven. Check this out. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, wish it happened at my house. Can't find anything. I got flour all over my face. There's one in here. We can eat right now. Some cook fairies barged in and prepared one.
WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed. I'm Don Rose, and Kurt Bowman is here, not only a former employee, but a good friend of mine. We still have our lunches a couple of Mondays.
Yeah, every once in a while.
And we go out on a Monday, have a lunch together and commiserate and talk about aches and pains and things that happen with you still getting older. The other day, I was on the phone with my sister-in-law. All we talked about for 45 minutes were our doctor's aches and pains and our maladies. And I used to make fun of my mother for doing that, and here I am.
It's, you know, it's like the Christmas letters you get at holiday time. It's Merry Medical Christmas. Yeah. Well, here's what happened with my family this year. All the aches and pains and...
My father had a pinky toe removed, and I started hearing about all that stuff. But Kurt was here for many, many years at WRJN. He's an integral part of the history, especially the modern history of WRJN. So... come in the end of 2014, I leave the station.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I had said I left employ here at 2005.
Let's continue that, right, yeah.
And Paul Kern took over the morning show for me, and then, I don't know, 6-7 years later, Paul was retiring, and I get a phone call from you. And he said, you know, Paul's retiring, what do you think? And I said, okay. So I came back in 2011, started, like, I think the day before Thanksgiving of 2011. And so another 3+ years. And like you said, 2014. Now you step in here. 2014.
Okay, so you were doing mornings again.
Yeah.
You gave up you gave it up totally, right? At the computer
IT
company.
Place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Computer company. Yeah. At the end of 2014, the owner before this one said, you're fired. He didn't use that
to,
word.
To you, not to me.
Right, to me. He didn't use that word to me, but I was making too much money, and he was a cheapskate, and he didn't want to pay. So I said, okay. And he said, can you stay on for another week on the radio?
Which never happens, by the way.
But, you know, I wasn't going to do anything wrong.
Because you fire somebody, and then you let them open a microphone and talk to everybody. What are you going to say?
Well, it wasn't what I said. It's what the Journal Times said that upset him.
Right.
Because Mick Burke... I didn't tell anybody. Mick Burke found out from somebody else that I was leaving, and he said, what's the story? He said, well, I can't. So he came in. He said, can I come in and talk to you? So I told him the whole story, and he called the previous owner as well for, and he took him by surprise. He said, I didn't fire him. I let him go, because on the Journal Times online version, it said Rosen fired. And he said, I didn't fire him. I let him go. I didn't fire him. He was just let go. And so they changed it to let go. And that was the cover of the printed version as well. And you came in as program director.
Yeah, well, let's back up one second. For years.
We said something about it to each other.
Yes. Well, two things. Yeah. For years, you would say
You would point at, you know, the building here and the studios and everything, and you said, just think, someday when I get hit by a bus, you said, this will all be yours, Kurt.
That's what I said.
Because you were the program director for how long?
24 years.
Okay, so you were a program director for a long time here, and you said, just think, Kurt, someday this will all be yours. And I said to you, no, when you leave, I leave. I always said that.
Well, it was almost that. So I left, and...
Yeah, New Year's Eve was your last day, 2014, right?
But on December 26th, I got a call from the previous owner, and he called me and said... about a week before that, he said, how would you feel if you didn't work here anymore? I was sitting in this very chair when he said it. He walked in here. I said, why, are you firing me? He said, no, I'm just wondering how you would feel. I said, well, I wouldn't be happy about it. He said, okay, I just want to feel you out. And then a week later, he calls me up and says, we're going to do without you from now on. We don't need you anymore. I said, okay. He said, well, can you stay on one more week on the radio for us till the end of the year? I said, okay. I mean, I wasn't doing anything, so I said, okay. And he trusted me. I wasn't going to screw around and badmouth him on the radio, just in the newspaper. But which I didn't, really. I didn't badmouth him. It was Mick Burke who did all that. Anyway, so... it was announced the day that he let me go on December 26th that you would be the new program director.
Right.
And so how did that feel?
Well, bittersweet, of course, because you and I are so close and, you know, we had a very good working relationship. I didn't really have any desire to be the program director, but he said to me, he says, you know, if Don wasn't here, would that be something you'd be interested in? I said, well, if you're asking my permission to fire him, no. You know, that's not what I'm looking for. And he says, but if he wasn't here, is it something you would consider? I said, well, I would consider it, I guess, yeah. And so, you know, when you were let go, so I became program director on January 1st of 2015.
Until?
About February 9th. Because I kept my, it wasn't really a promise, but I meant it. When you leave, I leave. And so when you left, I said, okay, it's time for me to look for something else. And so I did.
And to be fair and honest, the people, the previous owners, Tony Gazzana, Marcus Gazzana, that was Greg Marcus and Tony Gazzana, Bliss Communications, let me be program director. I was able to do whatever I wanted as long as I could justify what I was doing.
Right.
I remember I wanted to spend a ton of money to advertise on cable TV, and I was brought out to Janesville, and Bliss said, why should we give you all this money? And I told him why. I showed him. He said, do it. Produce a commercial. Start doing it. And we did billboards. We did everything. Mm-hmm. Because
you could justify
it. I justified it.
Yeah.
When I wanted to make program changes on the air, they never questioned me because they knew I was doing it for a good reason. When I used to... we turned to talk at one time. We dropped music and went to talk. I talked to Tony Gazzana about it, and I said, the future of AM radio is not music.
Right.
It's going to be talk radio. And this was back in the 90s, and I said, that's the future. And he said, let's do it. And I did it.
And which is when I took over the morning show, by the way.
When we just started talk radio.
Yeah, yes, because I had a plan for the morning show, and I think you liked the plan.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, so we did that. We did talk radio. So I never had a problem. But when our previous owner took over, the one before Civic Media, when he bought the place, he didn't want a program director.
Right.
The first thing he did was take me off the FM as program director. And basically on the AM, WRJN, I wasn't doing anything because he had all these preconceived notions. And his two sons, who are really nice guys, they're really nice people, and they're good radio people. The whole family's good radio people. They were basically running it. And so I really wasn't needed anymore.
Which is how I felt when he made me program director. Yeah. Is, you know, he came in, was making all these changes that were contrary to what you and I built up over a very long time. And so I was very close to it. You know, it's one thing if you bring in an outsider, but I was very close to it. And all the changes that you and I made, he was undoing. You know, we spent... Yeah. More than a decade, however long it was, a couple decades, you know, building something, and he came in and was changing it right away, and I didn't necessarily agree with everything, and so I thought, okay, he's going to make me program director,
people probably aren't going to like the changes, and now I'm going to be blamed for it because I'm the program director.
Look what Kirk did to that station.
Exactly.
Don shouldn't have left.
So, exactly. Exactly. So you left, you know, December 31st, 2014, month and a half later, I was out the door too. Now, it just so happened that at the same time that I was thinking, okay, I think it's time for me to make my exit.
You had a bad event happen in your life at that time.
Well, I did. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, an unexpected death in the family. But, well, that's another story. At the same time I was thinking, okay, it's time for me to make my exit, my previous company, the IT company, was creating a new position. And without me even really knowing it, they had me in mind for it. So timing just worked out pretty good. And I went back to that other company.
So I don't know if you or Ted Ayland has the record for the shortest program directorship in this company's history.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, mine was, I don't know, 40 days, maybe?
Gee, that's like Noah's Ark. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah.
That's a long. I don't know how long Ted Ayland was program director. It may have been shorter. I have to talk to Ted.
Well, I think he and Lou Turner were kind of co-program directors, weren't they? After I left.
I was gone at that point.
Yeah, after I left. That's kind of what I heard is Lou and Ted were kind of given the reins of the station and they were kind of doing it together. So I don't know. Well, but Lou stayed on. And so, yeah, Ted left after a while. And so he may have had the shortest one. I don't know.
It's either you or him. You had the most hats.
Yeah.
You also, how many records do you hold at this company?
I don't know.
But I got to tell you something. You're the most versatile person. At a moment's notice, we were able to ask you to do anything in this building, and you were able to do it.
Well, this morning I came in. Now, how long has it been since I regularly came in this building? A decade almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And this morning I was coming in. I was looking for a battery for you, and I knew exactly where all the light switches. You know, the rooms are dark at this time of the morning, yeah, but I knew exactly where the light switches were. You know, it's so, yeah.
It took me a while to figure that out. I was gone 9 years, and that light switch over there wouldn't work one day. I forgot there was another light switch behind you.
Yeah.
And now it worked fine after a while. But, yeah, you walk around and, you know, now, there is something here, and this isn't going to mean anything to anybody, but for the history of the radio station, I'll mention it. Back in the days when we had reel-to-reel tapes, we used to do commercials on reel-to-reel tapes, and we had to edit them with a razor blade.
Correct.
It wasn't, they didn't have the computer stuff where you can digitally.
Yeah, it's all digital
now. Yeah, you can digitally edit things. You had to take a grease pencil, mark the tape, and then slice it there, and rejoin it with the parts you take out, and you had to rejoin the tape, and that's how you made commercials. And it was done with a grease pencil. And the other thing I used to do with grease pencils, I used to circle the discs with the grease pencil. And this is what I found the other day. I found a grease pencil.
I found it.
I don't know if they even have these at radio stations anymore.
No, probably not.
I went to an old desk drawer I had here, and I looked in there, and I found the grease pencil I left there 9 years ago.
How much time do you have before the break? I'll tell you a story about editing tape. In college, I was taking radio production classes, and one of them was an editing. One of them was an editing assignment, and he gave us a song. It was, I don't know, whatever, 3 minutes and 13 seconds, and he says, you have to make this exactly a minute and a half. And so we had to go in with the grease pencils and the razor blades and cut the tape and put it back together and make it exactly a minute and a half. And so we used to make a game out of it. We would listen to all of our fellow students' assignments and try to count how many edits were in the song. And we came to mine, and I came after playing it, everyone's looking at me like, we couldn't hear any edits. And so my instructor said, was there one edit? I said, yeah, there was one edit. So that became unknowingly to me, that kind of became legendary. I went back for the 40th anniversary of my college radio station, and I was walking up, and everyone said, there he is. I said, there who is? And they said, you're the guy that had the one edit in the song. This is a legendary story after all these
years. And it all started with a grease pencil.
With a grease pencil and a razor blade.
A red grease pencil. I found a razor blade, but I didn't want to, I just left it where it was. But I needed the grease pencil, and this is brand new grease pencil. And I put it in that drawer behind you, in that room behind you, and there it was 9 years later. And I still have it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I just have it, and I got so excited when I saw it the other day.
It's nostalgia. For us old radio guys, it's nostalgia.
Now, here's the old cutting block.
Yep.
The reel-to-reel tape recorders are gone from the radio station, but the cutting block,
where you put the tape and use the razor blade.
Still here.
Still there.
We're remembering WRJN's historical marker number 2.
It's 7:49. Stay where you are.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At Hospice Alliance, not all volunteers work directly with our patients. Some help with special projects, office work, mailings, check-in phone calls, and much more. Anything you want to do, Hospice Alliance has a volunteer role for you. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At WRJN Radio, I'm Don Rose, and Kurt Vollmatt is here with our WRJN historical marker number 2. We're talking about Kurt's years here at WRJN. He's been here many, many years, wore many hats. We think that's the record, 5 hats that he wore at this radio station. Talk about some of the fun things we did. We actually did a promotion where we took listeners up to the Mall of America.
Yeah, so I
had
just...
It was an Amtrak promotion, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
That wasn't the Amtrak one?
No. You did that after I left, I think.
Okay.
I had just become promotions director, and we were looking for a promotion to do for Mother's Day on our FM station. And I came up with, you remember the old movie, Throw Mama Off a Train? Throw Mama from the Train. And so I came up with a promotion called Throw Mama on a Plane. And so what we did is we had people sign their mothers up. An adult kid would win a prize for their mother, and so they would sign up at various sponsor locations across the Racine area, and we picked a winner, and the winner got a trip to the Mall of America. We went on Sun Country Airlines, if you remember. I don't even know if that still exists
Sun
or not.
Sun Country, yeah.
We got up in the morning, the day before Mother's Day, flew up to the Mall of America. You and I went with the winner and her husband. You did a live broadcast on WEZY.
From a stage they set up for us.
Mm-hmm.
They actually said
in the middle of the Mall of America.
Yeah, set up a stage, yeah.
We gave the mother $1,000 in cash. And she had whatever it was, 3 hours or whatever it was, to go spend it. And then we flew back the same day. And I remember telling her ahead of time, I said, maybe bring an empty suitcase with you. And she said, that's a great idea. All the stuff I buy at the Mall of America. And she filled it up, and we flew back the same day. And then that night, she won an overnight stay at a Whirlpool suite at a local hotel, and then Sunday brunch the next morning.
We had to schlep all our radio equipment up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to put it in baggage, I remember. I didn't want it leaving my sight.
Right.
Because it's very expensive equipment.
Yeah.
And so it was that red Vector unit we had, and that's expensive.
We had a hard case for it.
Yeah,
so,
and it didn't leave my hand. I had like handcuffed to my hand.
Right.
like they do. We also did another one later on where we took Amtrak up to the Mall of America. I remember because my daughter went with us then. And that was just when the floods happened on the western side of the state. And the Mississippi River, Amtrak had canceled all their trains because they couldn't get over the Mississippi. The floodwaters were too high. So just in time for a promotion, they said, okay, we're back running again.
And I remember going over the Mississippi and the water couldn't have been more than 2 feet from the railroad tracks. Hmm. Remember those big floods they had on the western side of the state? Hmm. And we raised money here at that radio, this radio station for a flood, people who were damaged in the floods. Right, $14,000 we raised. And that was pretty good for a local small town radio station like WRJN to do that.
And by the way, that's one of the things I loved about working here is because I had other opportunities. I could have gone to other places and bigger markets, but I liked raising my family here, and I liked working at a local
hometown
radio station, where we could do these kinds of things and be a part of the community. And, you know, some of the other opportunities that I had, I wouldn't have been able to do things like that.
So we're doing this 4th of July parade broadcast. This is before we did them on my front lawn. We actually did them.
Yeah, because you live right on Main Street.
Right. We didn't do it. I wasn't living there at the time, though.
Right.
So we did it from this Uncorked was on 6th Street at the time.
Yes.
It was on 6th Street.
Yes.
And so we were on the second floor. You were doing it out, looking out the window, but we couldn't see everything in the parade. So you set up a video camera.
I did, and a TV.
And a TV monitor to watch.
Because we were a good, half a block off of Main Street where the parade was going. And so, I set up a video camera and a TV and zoomed in. I used the zoom lens on the video camera, and you could zoom in and see everything in the parade.
Which you probably could have done from home watching it on TV.
I suppose.
But we did it from the second floor of Uncorked. And later on, we actually did it outside of Main Street. You did it for many years, just outside my house.
Yeah.
We sat on the front lawn, which was great because the parade was right there. Mm-hmm. And Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan, used to come by, used to say hello, and we have pictures of that. And occasionally get people in the parade, run on out my front lawn, walk up to the microphone, and say hello.
Do you know the last 4th of July parade, Racine 4th of July parade I was at was whatever year was the last one I broadcast? It would have been 2014, I guess. I haven't been back to one since.
Yeah, well, I have because it's right in front of my house.
Yeah. Well, you can't avoid it.
Well, I did avoid it one year. We went to, my wife is from Union Grove. Mm-hmm. That's where she was raised and grew up. And so we went to the Union Grove parade. But you got to get out early. If you don't leave your house early, you're landlocked.
Exactly.
So we left and we went there and we made sure we can't get back before noon.
Right, because the parade's still going on. Yeah.
So what we did was we actually had a camera aimed at the street. So while we're in the Union Grove parade, we can actually watch the Racine parade at the same time through a window. And we told our friends and neighbors, you're on your own this year. If you want to use our front lawn, go ahead and do it. But we're not going to be here for that. But that was the only time I think we ever missed it.
You can use our front lawn, but not our bathroom.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to clog up our bathrooms. So anyway, but when you live on Main Street and for the people expect you to have food for them, and which we did, mm-hmm. and people brought food and so forth. So it was very nice. And I remember we fed you guys.
Oh, yeah.
At the 4th of July. Now, after you left mornings, Paul Kern actually did it from our front lawn with Jan, Jan Hoff. She did it. And so it was kind of a nice promotion. We always did a lot of nice promotions here at WRJN. We were always out and about. We never, just sat around and did nothing. We had some great equipment to broadcast from different locations. Not to drop names and stuff, but after the Vector, we got another piece of electronic equipment, which was cutting edge at the time. Mm-hmm. What was the steel one called?
The Tyline.
It was cutting edge at the time. Yeah. I remember we actually did a broadcast at one of the casinos where John Tesh was performing, and he saw some of our equipment, and he told Betsy Chase's producer, order one of these for me. I want one. Because he was just amazed at how well it worked.
Right.
And it sounded like you were in the studio. It didn't sound like a phone line.
Right.
It sounded beautiful. I am so glad you're my friend. And I'm so
right
glad,
back at you.
And I'm so glad you were here. And I'm glad you braved the below zero temperatures to come here this
morning.
And
by the way, welcome back. The Civic Media is lucky to have you doing
this. Well, thank you very much. I would never have thought I'd be in this building again. And you probably never thought you'd be sitting across from that microphone again.
Exactly.
And I'm glad we're here. It is Hometown Radio Fresh. This is WRJN Historical Marker number 2, Kurt Bowman. Number 3 is going to be coming up. Somebody older than Kurt, though. Coming up. I'm Don Rosen. Stay warm. I'll catch you tomorrow morning, okay? 6 a.m. bright and early. Hometown Radio Refresh, WRJN.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. See?